Hey, I'm one of Joey's AI biuches. What you are about to hear are real friends working real stuff out. A group of people who are more interested in the heart behind certain words and actions, as opposed to just looking at those things by themselves and making quick and convenient conclusions that are typically dismissive to the human experience. That childish shit is for kindergarteners. Anyway, there's typically way more to the story. Well, here's one of our stories along these lines. Also in the show notes, you'll see a link to sign up for an online follow-up conversation. Welcome to all of the listenership, your main squeeze, and even your grandpappy. During that hangout, we'll have a Q&A for anyone wanting to probe further. There's also a whole recorded follow-up conversation to Robbie and Joey's assessment of former slave plantations in the South. But you have to be a patron to hear it because we want your money. Bling bling. And I'm out.
I actually didn't even see it until the text message was blowing up.
Okay.
And then I saw it and I heard it and I thought, I wish you would have sent this to me first.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like, I wish we would have talked about this before.
And then I pull my phone up and I start reading everything that was going on. The next thing that I read, and Stoy wrote, I'm curious to know what part of any one of our conversations or interactions ever in life gave you the impression that I would enjoy that. And when I read that, I was like, oh my gosh, what's happened?
That's our problem. Like, we are a family, and if Stoy's hurting, then we're hurting.
And so it's almost like we're put in a relationship where your part is either make the mistake of racism or not. My part is to take it as racism or not. And it limits where we can go if we don't understand both sides are suffering from something that was terribly wrong. I feel like we have to face all of it on both sides because it's happened. It's happened and it's happening. If we face it head on instead of, I don't know if I should talk about this right now, or when we tiptoe, it continues to grow. Like, no, let's explore the whole thing and blow it all out. Like, get it all out of there, because the tiptoe is what keeps it growing. You know what I mean?
I like demanded, pleaded, called God on promises and was like, you have to show up or like I am done. And he did. And he did.
That's something to really think about. What does it mean that the God of the universe loves me?
Are we saying that our God is bigger than their God or what?
Man, you got my mind going crazy right now.
I just think that that is evangelical bullshit.
And I don't fit in their box anymore. So feeling rejected from the church makes me feel far away from God.
If I'm living out the love of God, love of the divine, then in some ways we're unoffendable.
It's wrong to marginalize anybody for any reason.
Sometimes we can just have some things about our perspective that's off until we encounter someone who can challenge our thoughts, have conversations with us, and we just continue to grow and evolve.
I'm with you there. Yeah, I like that.
That sounded like womp, 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 womp to Robbie.
I'm a hardcore gospel lover. I do love the gospel. I just think we get it wrong.
Girl, I was so highly medicated, I don't even know if you
Oh, got my people.
If y'all don't mind, we'll jump right in. I kind of have it mapped out a little bit with where we'll hit. And this is the neat thing about this podcast is we have the same sort of conversations behind the scenes as we do when we hit record. So it doesn't feel weird to just say, let's jump right in.
Yeah,
right.
We do that anyway. But I will say that, Stoy, just seeing your face makes me happy because I feel like we went through a something, you know, like we went through something that we had to work through, and like seeing your face makes me happy. And Stoy, it wasn't until you and I made plans to talk, just the two of us, it wasn't until then that I was convinced that you weren't effing with everybody. Like, it was at that moment where I was like, okay, yeah, Stoy's not clowning right now. And then, as open and honest as I can, Stoy, when I heard your voice, like I immediately opened by saying, first of all, I just want to say I'm super, super sorry. And how you responded, it was then when I was like, whoa, not only is Stoy serious, but this is a big deal. Like, this is, and what, you weren't being dramatic, but I could tell you weren't trying to lighten the air. And again, not in a mean way, but it was just like, no, we have to talk. we have to talk through something. So that's what's crazy is how blind I was to where I was like, no, he has to be joking around. You know, just for our listeners, I've said this once before, but I'll say it again. Stoy and I are childhood friends. We are new friends on the adult front. So Stoy and I are new friends and we remember being kids together. But Stoy, the little bit that you have interacted with me over the past year and a half, how did you think that phone call was going to go? Or did you even think that far ahead?
I try to stay as present as possible. So I wasn't really anticipating how the phone call would go because I know I operate straight on what I'm feeling at that moment. So trying to predict your response or how you would open up the call or the conversation, that would put me in a place that's not ready for whatever you presented to me. You know, like I could prepare as much as I want, and then you come out and say something totally different, and now I'm off because I rehearsed the conversation beforehand. So I just try to stay as present as possible to make sure whatever comes, I give my genuine, authentic response to it, you know?
No, I don't, because I'm like, why don't I do that? No, like, seriously, right. you're saying this stuff. I'm like, you're my pal that I've known since the fourth grade is mentoring me right now, because I don't do that. I am thinking in my head, I bet you this is how it's, and you use the word rehearse, and I'd hate to be so hard on myself to admit that, but I think even rehearsing in my head. So yeah, no, that is actually something very important for me to take in.
I think it's a beautiful story.
And we will get into the nuts and bolts of, you know, the way that I hurt my friend, but basically it's a text feed. And Stoy, I'm curious how you thought the conversation between you and I went.
I thought it was perfect, honestly. I just thought the way you open it up, you remove my walls first. So, and I think that's important when you do anything to offend or hurt somebody, to make sure you attend to their feelings first, because instead of defending your action or defending yourself, I just think that's important. And you did that without me saying, Joey, don't talk to me about this or da 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 this until you do this. You opened up the conversation. Like, first off, let me apologize. I had no idea. And without you even saying that, I knew to a certain degree it was some naive in that, you know, like, so just knowing you and knowing that you couldn't account for how deeply that affected me. That's kind of what I said to the group. Like, I can't hold y'all all the way responsible for what's going on deep down inside of me. Because there's also a fight going on inside of me on how much do I respond and how much do I let go and why am I letting this go? Why am I responding so hard? Nobody else can account for that.
Yeah.
That's a personal battle. So I try to maintain that my integrity as far as being the other end of a friendship and making sure I do my part properly without overdoing it. Because anything overkill is, you know, it loses value to me.
Yeah. Like, Stoy, this is hard for me to hear, but after all of that unfolded to you and I actually talking, you had to second guess what our friendship was, right?
No, there was a moment where I second guessed how I communicated. Like, what made that comfortable for you to think it would be okay with me? You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't, I didn't question our friendship or anything like that. I just questioned myself, like, what did I do to give him that impression that that would be okay?
So you didn't have thoughts of like, wait a second, maybe Joey's an asshole, or wait a second, maybe Joey's insensitive and doesn't care about people. Like, you didn't have to second guess what you, the inner, like, in your words, the energy that you felt from me these past year and a half or so. You didn't have to second guess that.
No, I already think you're an asshole.
I opened myself up.
Dead.
Yeah, I didn't second guess that at all. Like, nah, I did. Nah.
Could you say that one more time, Stoy, yeah. Just so we make sure we all heard it correctly?
Oh my God! I like hang on every word you say. Like, I'm listening and I'm like, he's like definitely taking like a journey somewhere. Like, he's like some kind of guru. And then you're like, I already knew you were an asshole. And you said it so serious.
Yeah, I never had to second guess that part. No, as far as second guessing the friendship and like, nah, man, like I just wanted to have the moment where we explore it. Like,
yeah.
I know we had to explore it and I wanted to make sure we had our moment to explore it as well as the group. Cause I responded in the group.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I could have do a sidebar and say, Joey, I ain't feeling that. But that didn't feel authentic to me, like, because it came out in the group. I felt it in the group. And I was like, okay, if we all extended family, then I'm going to express how I feel to everybody.
Yeah.
So it kind of put me in a back seat where I was like, oh, you know what? This may be a little much for the group because I'm really feeling like this shouldn't have been shared like this,
right.
You know? But I just gave what I had.
Right. So you and I were going to work it out in your mind. Like, hey, we'll talk this through. We'll get on the other side of this.
You have to. You know what I mean? If you think about what it is and the thing that triggered me, if I'm getting triggered and then I'm unable to work through it with whoever triggered me, then I should expect it to stay that way forever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I got to at least be able to work my way through it if I'm expecting it to resolve in the world itself.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I was looking at it. Like, yeah, me and Joey, we have to talk. And that I was directing everything at you because I felt like you weren't hearing me.
Right.
You know, and it's like,
right.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, bro, I am not laughing. I am not joking. And I liked that it was in the group setting, but I also felt like the group felt some lash from that. Like, it put people in position where they didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That awkwardness, I wanted to account for that in the group, but I couldn't at the moment because I was all the way feeling what I was feeling.
Right. Yeah. And I definitely want to get to your feelings as far as how that conversation unfolded. Before Hane kind of gives like a quick account of what happened, Amy, Robbie, Matt, and Hane, after I sent that video, how many of y'all were like, wait, this may not go down well? Like, you were, Matt, too?
I mean, yeah, I replied. I think I said, Stoy, get his ass or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I didn't even see it because I was in horrible cell service. I was in South Dakota climbing.
So Amy said yes. Robbie, what about you?
I actually didn't even see it until the text message was blowing up.
Okay.
And then I saw it and I heard it and I thought, I wish you would have sent this to me first.
Yeah.
You know, like, I wish we would have talked about this before.
But I thought Joey said he sent it to you.
I thought he did too.
He did.
Yeah, but Robbie hadn't seen it yet. Yeah, so Stoy, I didn't send it to Robbie as far as like, hey, is this appropriate? I sent it to Robbie and Hane because I thought it was funny. And then I said, oh, well, I'll just send it to the whole group. Why am I just sending it to you guys? Hard to admit, but yes, that's how. What, Amy?
Ellen and I were sidebar cringing. Like, we were like,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Hane, what kind of from your perspective, you kind of started reading when a lot of it had already unfolded.
Exactly. So similar to how you just shared, you sent it to Robbie and I, but I was literally in the Black Hills with my family. We were camping and climbing, and I was only getting I was only getting text messages in random spots when I had cell service. So we got up that morning. I got the message that you sent Robbie and I, but I knew I couldn't watch it because I just didn't have the bandwidth to watch the video. Well, then I saw it went to the whole group and it went out, and then Stoy responded. Actually, I pulled the text thread up here because I was just curious to look at it. Stoy responded, "Not funny at all."
Was that not preempted by... That's right, because when I sent it, I said I thought this was funny.
Yes, right? Exactly. Yeah,
because he was responding to that comment.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think you said something how you felt like that we would all enjoy it.
Right.
You sent it, and then 3 minutes later, I actually pulled up the timestamp. Stoy had looked at it, and Stoy responded, "Not funny at all." Matt said, "Give him hell, Stoy." I had a brief window of cell service. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know where Stoy was at. I just thought it just wasn't funny. So then I wrote and said, "Stoy, draw a picture of a penis on his daughter's face and you'll be even, Steven." Then I was gone. At that point, I was like, cell service out, completely gone. We were gone all day climbing. And then I pulled my phone up and I start reading everything that was going on. The next thing that I read, and Stoy wrote, "I'm curious to know what part of any one of our conversations or interactions ever in life gave you the impression that I would enjoy that." And when I read that, I was like, oh my gosh, what's happened? Then immediately Ellen jumped in and said, "Hey, can I interrupt? If she want to talk about the Barbie movie." And when I read that, I was like, oh, fuck. Like,
yeah.
Because at that point, when I read that, I was like, Stoy just basically said, this burned me hard. And then the conversation was immediately changed to a Barbie movie. And I thought, oh man, he has got to feel like no one is listening or hearing him right now at all. And then it was just, I mean, I'm scrolling through it. So much shit about a Barbie movie. And well, then.
Well, go ahead.
Did you want to talk about the Barbie movie now?
Here's what I want to ask. And Amy, this may be a part of what you're about to say, but I do want to ask, because this is more directed at everybody but Stoy and I, because this is something that you guys are kind of watching take place. Amy, do you think the Barbie talk, and it wasn't just Ellen, and I will let, you know, obviously I want Stoy to actually communicate how it made him feel, but it made him feel like shit to see how the conversation just went elsewhere. But it was kind of everybody-ish, and was it a combination of, we're not even sure if Stoy's being serious right now, which is no excuse, but we're not sure if he's playing because Joey thinks he's playing. What if he's playing? We're going to talk about other stuff. Or was it Stoy's not playing and now we're nervous? Like, what in y'all's mind, why was the talk going in that place? Because nobody on the team is mean. Nobody's like, ooh, now let's make Stoy really feel bad. Nobody's thinking that.
You want me to answer that?
Yeah. Anybody. Yeah. I mean,
Well, for me, I was at work when this came through, and I didn't originally watch the video because I thought it was something stupid, boyish, you know, like, no offense, but there's a lot more males on there than females. And then sure. A lot of times it's like, somebody farted. And it's like, I don't care. but when Stoy first responded and was like, not funny, I was like, oh, what is it? And I looked at it and I was like, no, actually, that's not funny. And I kind of set my phone down because I was at work, and it's blowing up. And honestly, I didn't really read everything until I saw her say something like, I saw the Barbie movie from Ellen, and I was like, yeah, we'll talk about that. So I wasn't paying attention to Stoy's reaction, which if you can see what happened is we start talking about the Barbie movie because I do give a shit about that. We're talking about that. And then what happened is that I went back up to read what I missed later. And that's when I was like, wait, Stoy, I did miss this. And I do feel like a piece of crap for that. Are you hurt? Because I wanted to address it and not blow over on it. So I can't speak for how it originally got diverted. I can say on my behalf, I wasn't super interested in the video. I set my phone down. And when I look back, it said Barbie from Ellen. And so, yeah, I'm going to talk about Barbie because that's what I'm into right now. And I just watched the movie. But then when I circle back up to read through the feed is when I was like, I grossly misstepped somebody being hurt. And I had to address it because I couldn't not, because that's just not my personality is like, if someone is hurting, I want to fix it. And I would never just brush over it and be like, well, sorry, dude, that's your problem. Because that's our problem. Like, we are a family. And if Stoy's hurting, then we're hurting. And I was uncomfortable when I watched the video, and I didn't think it was funny. And I just imagined, like, I pictured, like, some friends of mine that I'm really close with. If they were sitting next to me, would I laugh at this? No, so I'm not going to laugh at it when nobody's standing around either, you know?
Right. All right, Robbie, I'll ask you the favor of describing what the video was that I sent everybody. And then I thought it'd be really interesting to hear your take, you know, outside of maybe Amy, but I would say you probably know me more than anybody else on this call. Why, in your mind, what was my blind spot in your mind? Like, and your answer could be you had a dumbass moment. Like, that's fine if it's that simple. But, you know, from what you know about the ins and outs of how I operate, in your mind, why did I think that was a funny joke? But why don't you tell everybody what I sent?
I don't remember all of the video. All I remember is that there was I guess it was a black guy in the middle of a suburban neighborhood talking about how he got, was it Negro surgery or something? But it was Negroes and like K-N-E-E and then grow as in like he got taller. And so they were playing on the words, but then like as the video progressed, everybody just started yelling the N-word, you know, not pretending like it wasn't the N-word, but then there was like white people yelling it, black people yelling it, and it was just kind of going on and on and on. At this person. And so it was playing light of something that's heavy. But in the world of comedy, you know, a lot of times those things step over the bounds a lot. And I feel like it can be misunderstood by people who aren't black, how heavy that can be, especially when it's coming from someone who isn't black. Mm-hmm. And so I honestly just credit it to you don't know the weight of it. You don't know, like, and I know that Joey, you're the most kind-hearted person that I know. Like, you're just the most servant-hearted person that I know. So I know that if something was going to cause someone harm intentionally, you wouldn't do it. So it's not like you weren't doing something malicious, intentionally malicious. But I think it was just some video that somehow you, like, you're desensitized to what that would feel like to a group, not just a group of black people, but a group of white people on a text message thread that is making a black joke and then everyone is joking about it. So when I looked at the text message and I saw the progression, I think I saw like one of your first comments, Stoy, and then I looked at the video and I thought, oh no, he's not joking. But then I was a little confused when you chimed in and said, Stoy's pulling one over on us. So I thought, oh, they talked on the phone. So Joey was given this clarification that Stoy was okay, you know? And then I realized later when he kept writing that wasn't the case.
And now in retrospect too, those further text messages makes it even more horrendous. You know, Stoy's already communicated how it's making him feel. And I'm like, no, that's not how you feel. He's kidding.
Right. Yeah. I think it was just, it's overstep. It's, you know, it's a blind spot. But at the same time, I think that the importance of relationship is exactly what Stoy's talking about. If you care about the relationship and you want the relationship to stay and grow, that you have to talk about those blind spots. Because if you don't talk about it, then there's always going to be friction in the relationship and there's never any unity. There's never any coming together after that.
You know, a level of distrust.
There's a level of distrust. And then it's like, well, I'm never going to really open up myself fully to these people anyway, because they number one, didn't hear my voice. They didn't see my offense. They don't really care. They think that's not a big deal and they're moving on. And so, but instead that wasn't the reaction. The reaction was actually, repentance and caring for each other. And so I personally think that the group is stronger for it. And that it, you know, hopefully will lead to something else beautiful that can lead to other communities walking through that together too.
Yeah. Stoy, why don't you fill in some gaps, because you actually were seeing it unfold in a way that just kept hurting you more and more and more. And, you know, as much as you're willing to share for everybody else.
Well, what I was saying was, like, because I spent so many of my childhood years oblivious to the magnitude of what racism is, you know? So I spend a lot of my time, like, me and you as friends, like, we were friends. We grew up, like, I didn't see that. So it wasn't like I had blinders on. It was just, I was oblivious to it. So coming into it as an adult, when I got my comprehension, I got all of my intellect, you know, I can apply complex level thinking to things that are hurtful and mean and ugly, but that came later on. So I said to you that I'm kind of still growing, like I'm immature in that area because it just now became something that's a big deal to me. It's not always been a big deal. It just now became a big deal. And not minimizing, I just wanted you to have a proper scope of what was going on with me in the moment. Like, look, even if you think I'm overreacting, I'm reacting truly and honestly with my feelings. I like to try to be controlled in my approach to things. But when I react raw, when you give somebody raw feelings, I just wanted you to know, hey, I'm not attacking you because I felt attacked. I'm just responding to my feelings. And they are all over the place because they're immature. Some of them are uncharted waters, you know what I'm saying? Like places I haven't experienced yet. Especially with me and you, we haven't encountered any type of that kind of interaction at all. So when it came out and it came so easily for you, I was like, wait a minute, what did I do to make him think that was okay? So that's why I was navigating. But the immature and the mature, all of that was about me just becoming more aware of what's going on in society. And I definitely wanted to change. So that's why I had to make sure my response to that moment was appropriate.
Right. I think it's important for our listeners, too, that you're never going to be cool with that video. You're talking about how you responded to it and work through your emotions. Like, we're not saying you're not saying that I need to get to a better place, so videos like that are cool with me. I just want to make sure our listeners
No, because if that was any other race that was being displayed in the video like that, I would still be that offended.
Yeah.
So it's not something that, oh, because it was directed at Black people, I was offended. No, like I told you in our call, if they were talking about white people, I still would have been like, dog, don't say me nothing. I want to be in a place, if the world was in the same place that would match me being okay with that video, then I would want to seek that. But the world is not there. So it's hard to say I want to be in a place where I'm okay with that when I see the kind of stuff that is going on in the world. I just don't think that's appropriate. No, yeah. And I don't find it funny. Everybody laugh at different stuff. Some people like dry humor. Some people like over the top. Some people, you know, to me, it just wasn't funny at all. And if I feel like when you got to go to that place, it's almost like a callus there. Like, I don't care who this offends. I'm gonna make three people laugh. And I don't know how to explain.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between like cultural humor that's shining a light on something positive about culture or something that's funny about culture versus something that's actually insulting about the culture. I think that video particularly was highlighting something that was insulting and negative about culture, not something that was funny about Black people, like, you know, running late to an event or something like that. You know, that's a little bit, you know, it's like a little easier to, you know, than something that heavy. But
and the offense part is the word in itself and what that's tied to, right?
Part of it, yeah.
I heard a couple of things in the video that was referencing like slavery and one dude's like Negro please, and like I don't know, man. The small things that I felt that was in between the lines. It was like, yeah. nah, that's ain't cool.
I felt like the black man in the video, you know, like there was like a gentleman, I only watched it once, but the gentleman that was, do you know what I mean? Like there was like the black man that was like watching the commercial or something. Wasn't it like a faux commercial or something?
Yeah. But no, the black guy is the one who put the video out and recorded his facial reactions to
it. So he, the guy who had the reactions or that guy, I felt like he was even set up like a caricature, not like a real person. And that bothered me too. Like it wasn't, you know what I mean? Like
now that was his channel. That was his channel. So he's showing everybody the video and he's recording his reactions. Like that was coming from his channel.
He
wasn't a part of the recorded video. I'm not saying that makes it okay. I'm just saying.
No, I just felt like it wasn't even like a, it's like a character. It wasn't like a.
Growing up as a black person, specifically in Charleston, just an interesting experience. You know, we've talked about this on the podcast a lot. Obviously, Joey, you and I talk about it a lot over the years. But the fact that like, I feel like growing up black in Charleston, you're gaslighted so much, you don't really realize what you've been gaslighted about. And I think that I didn't have a lot of realizations about it until I was an adult, just like Story was saying. And I remember when I, pretty soon after I joined staff with you, Joey, one of the staff members asked me if it ever bothered me to sing for weddings at plantations.
Oh, I asked you that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was like, why would that bother me? I literally was like, what are you talking about? There's always weddings at plantations. What do you, you know? And then it started to, you know, it started to affect me a little bit more a little later. And I remember there's a singer friend of mine that I hooked up with this corporate band because she's just a beast. And then I remember they would send her down, they'd bring her down to Charleston to come sing weddings. And she said, you know, I can't go to Charleston with that wedding band anymore. I was like, why? Because they keep sending me to plantations and all these things. I started thinking about it. And, you know, as we have had discussions more about systematic racism and all these other things, these structures that are built, it began to bother me so much later. Like, it's like I was actually singing there. I was doing the thing. And I did have a problem with it, but it didn't. The problem didn't bother me as much as it should have, but then also as much as it did in the future. For example, Boone Hall Plantation, specifically, the entertainment, which typically were brown people, either black people, like, you know, it was mostly minorities that were performing. They had to park all the way across the, excuse the terminology, but they had to park all the way across the field. And then they had to walk all their instruments across the plantation, past slave quarters that are still up, tour guides that are giving tours still with like shackles on the walls and gullah tours. And then you walk into a building, entertain people for an unfair wage, and then you leave. And then I'm thinking how expensive the wedding culture, wedding industry is in Charleston. All that money, all that profit that is being generated from these plantations, where's that money going? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's not going to black people. Like, the systems are still...
The families are still making money.
They're still making money off of slavery. Yep. I'm still walking across the fields of things that they don't feel like they can tear down. I'm still given the entertainment and being cheated in the, you know, compared wages of my industry, and everybody's okay with that.
And you know, all we have to say about the plantation is how beautiful it is.
And
people are still blind to this. Like it just bothers me so much that the words that are paired together the most with plantation is beautiful. Oh, right. Boone Hall, have you been there? It's beautiful. And I'm like,
that feels like a gaslighting within Charleston.
It destroys my heart.
Yeah, but with all people, it's
still, but they're still celebrated. I mean, ask Stoy, yeah. Amy, yeah. Robbie. I mean, Matt, I'm sure there's similar experiences in the Deep South where you are. They're still celebrated. Mm-hmm. Nobody says, oh, but remember the history of these things. It's no, your wedding was at Boone Hall. Oh my gosh, I got to see the pictures.
So my ex-wife, when she was in college, actually lived in an apartment that was formerly slave quarters on a plantation property. And all of the slave quarters, there were about 8 of them, had been converted to apartments. This was a long time ago, but it struck me pretty hard. And I don't know if the same family owned it still or anything like that. They seem like very sweet people, but it was... I don't know. You think about the profit center that is, and that it was, and that it still is, and it's still lining someone's pocket.
And I think that when we talk about progressing as a society, it's more about not denying that things happen. It's more about learning the people that you're in relationship with, learning how to love them better. You know, for example, my wife, she's half white, half Filipino. And so I'm learning so much about Asian culture as well, and terms that are maybe derogatory within Asian culture that may not seem as heavy to me, especially, you know, she talks about, you know, in America, everything is about black and white. You know, you talk about any other culture and everybody's so ignorant about all the other cultures, you know, and so I think it's the same thing. It's like true relationship is about learning the person, learning what's offensive, staying away from that, learning what affirms the person and builds them up, and doing more of that. I lived overseas for a while. And when I was living in Argentina for a while, and it was the craziest experience for me because they don't really have the context of, you know, North American slavery like we do. And so you can guess what they called me as soon as I showed up in Argentina. Every person in the street, you know, called me negro. And I was like, when I first got there, I was like, what'd you call me? You know, like, it was just like, I even told my mom, and my mom was like, what'd they call you? I'm booking a flight down there now. I was like, no, mom, it's not like that here. You know, like, it's got to calm her down a little bit. And I chose to sit with it because I was like, actually backing up a little bit, there were two guys that when, as soon as I got there, they had a conversation with me and they explained to me, you're going to hear this a lot when you live down here. It doesn't mean the same thing that it means in your country. For here in Argentina, it's a term of endearment. It's an honor for us to be able to call you that. We call each other that, but it's an honor for us to call you that. But we want to get your permission if we can call you that. You know, like my close friends actually asked me that. It was still too weird for me for a long time until I started, you know, I mean, I lived down there for over a year. So I started to understand the difference. And it is a wild experience. But I did, you know, coming back to the States, like I celebrated cultures, and I had to realize that to some people in the States, that's offensive. And you ask them, where are you from? You know, like people ask me, where are you from? Where are your parents from? And for some people, that's offensive. So what you do is you dial it back, you learn, you adjust the relationship, and you do what communicates love and understanding and unity.
Yeah, it's just my personal belief that I think that at least even if it's a small bit of racism, I think there's probably something about all humans where we have something, you know, even if it doesn't come out in a way that merits being called a racist. Like I don't think it'd be an accurate depiction for someone to call me a racist, but I do believe that there's places in my heart where I may not even realize I struggle with racism, and I do. My question for Stoy and Robbie specifically, but then everybody could have some insight on this, is, was my mistake due to a blind spot in racism? When I thought about it deeply, I was like, you know, I don't know if this is a blind spot of racism, but it is a blind spot of insensitivity and how I communicate, and a complete blind spot with, or just a dumb mistake of assuming that because I didn't have a triggering response, it would make sense that I don't have a triggering response to that word because my culture is not tied to all the negativity in a personal way that y'all's culture is. So it's just the blind spot for me was just a complete lack of acknowledgement of what that word is. And then I think insensitivity, but
I feel like the world itself suffers from the way that things were years ago. And that's on both sides. I never felt like it was just one side affected. So if you look at the degree in which Black people are affected by racism, then in some part of that, white people is affected by it as well. So like this conversation where you feel like is it me being naive, or how do I navigate through this? And so it's almost like we're put in a relationship where your part in this relationship is either make the mistake of racism or not. My part is to take it as racism or not. And it limits where we can go if we don't understand both sides are suffering from something that was terribly wrong. If any excusing of any part of it is what makes it continue to go on. Like I feel like we have to face all of it on both sides because it's happened. It's happened and it's happening. Mm. So if we face it head on instead of, I don't know if I should talk about this right now, or like when we tiptoe, it continues to grow. Mm. If we go right at it and say, you know what, I don't want to tolerate this anymore. There's still a tolerance for it in every interaction that you have in life. Like, okay, that over there, it looks like it's from slavery, but I'm not going to say anything about it. Or like everybody, not everybody, but some people turn, what it called, turn the other cheek. And some people face it. Some people don't say something. So, and instead of everybody just, as soon as you're involved in it or interact with it or you encounter it, you see it, you say something that destroys it. And I think we need more of that than conversations where, okay, you're okay to say this, but you shouldn't say that. Like, no, let's explore the whole thing and blow it all out. Like, get it all out of there, because the tiptoe is what keeps it growing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what's important, I don't know the classification you're talking about, like, is something racist or not particularly, because that, I feel like that's about a heart issue. Like, that's what's going on in our heart. And I don't think we can necessarily judge that, but your response to a situation, I think we can judge that. And your response is to repent, dialogue, and lift up minorities, which is always your response, you know? So I think like that to me says a lot. Some years ago in school, I was actually in a class on disabilities, exceptionalities, but this particular text we were reading was called A History of Disabilities in the United States. And it talks about all kinds of different disabilities, from blindness to a retardation, all this. And one of the disabilities was being Black. Mm. And yeah, it was being Black, was being a Black slave. And so in that chapter, what would happen to slaves that would, like, say there was like a slave that destroyed their slave master's property. Instead of diving into that situation and thinking that the situation itself was wrong, that slavery was wrong, they actually gave it a medical condition and said that that slave was actually mentally ill. This was a medical condition. Hmm. Any Black slave that would try to escape wherever they were enslaved at, that was another medical condition. And everything, you know, so like the response to it was different. That is, for me, is clearly racism. That's a system of racism. They're classifying people who are crying out, people who are speaking up for help. Their response to it is to pretend like it's not happening, to gaslight, to turn it into something else. And I think that is the response that is wrong. That's how we move backwards. You know, that's not how we move forward. But yeah, as far as like racism, I think it's a bit, in terms of humanity, I think it's more of a problem of comparison and hierarchy. Because yeah, in every country you go to, they've got somebody that they're hating on. You know, the United States, they're hating on Mexicans. Why? You know, when I was living in Argentina, they hated on Bolivians and people from Paraguay. I'm like, why? Like, in Costa Rica, they hated on Nicaraguans. And everywhere it was something else, and there was some kind of reason for it. But yeah, like we have this almost this innate wiring to compare ourselves to others. And in that comparison, we're putting either ourselves greater than or less than. That, I think that's where racism stems from. You know, you're viewing a group of people as less than where you are. And therefore, it has certain implications that follow that. So,
yeah. Stoy and Robbie, someone in the situation that I was in making that sort of blunder, and this someone's response, however, was, oh, Stoy, you know I didn't mean anything by that. Come on, man. How do you proceed, or do you, in friendship with someone who basically is just like, nah, y'all know I didn't mean anything by that. Moving on, you're being sensitive.
I mean, for me, like I told you, the way you responded was appropriate and it pulled my walls down. that if I got that response from you, my walls would stay up and then we would have a totally different type of conversation.
That may not have been able to been worked through had I maintained that.
Well, if you would have maintained that, then I would have, I can't hypothetically say I would say this or that, but I know in the face of what you just presented to me, I would have said something like, listen, this is how it made me feel. This is what I got from it. If you think I'm being sensitive, you're entitled to that. But if you present that to me again after I already expressed to you how I felt about it, then we're going to have a different type of conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's how I would deal with that in that moment.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's the closest I can get to how I would respond.
Right.
It's hard to tell, honestly, but I do. I mean, I have a lot of friends that it is such a struggle for them to see another side, to see things from a different. It's not like this conversation here. You know, it's almost like they feel like you need to prove to them that there's a problem, and you really don't. You really don't. But if there's a relationship there, which I feel like a few years ago, after the death of the murder of George Floyd, a lot of these conversations started happening in greater quantity. And then you started like really dealing with people that are, you know, an issue that is very politicized. It always has been, but now is like very politicized. And now people are trying to figure out, are we talking politics or are we talking humanity here? And now I have to prove to you issues of my blackness and my black experience, and you're trying to belittle it, but I'm trying to prove to you that this is right or this is wrong when you don't even have the right to argue somebody's lived experience. So yeah, in my personal case, it boils down to now, do I want this relationship to continue or do I not? You know, like, what's my place in this? Like, can we have a conversation about it? And then if the conversation goes well, it goes one way. If it doesn't, then it goes another way. But asking the question, do I want to preserve this relationship or is this some relationship that I need to move on?
Let me give y'all a story what happened. And then I'm going to put y'all in my mind, all of the things I was processing. And it led to a blow up racist conversation. And it started with somebody making a mistake with my card. Like, the lady came to the table, took my card, and wasn't supposed to charge me for something. Okay, take the card, didn't charge me for it, double charge me for the meal. Okay, hey, I get the receipt. Hey, you double charge me for the entire meal. You didn't charge me for the orange juice, but you double charge me for the entire. Oh, I'm sorry, my bad. Go back, come back, put the orange juice on there, then charge. Like, it was three occasions of that happening, and now I'm looking at her sideways and I'm like, okay, why can't you get this right? What's going on? And this the mistake cost me like almost $100. I gotta take from that mistake and think, all right, I gotta wait on them to fix this situation, but I got bills coming up tomorrow that I need to pay. And this lady have no idea what's going on. Now I'm thinking about, why am I working so hard in this situation where this little $100 is affecting my entire mood, makeup, how I gonna enjoy the rest of my vacation? Like, I gotta process all of that because of how hard my people have to fight to get ahead. I'm doing all of that in my head. And I'm like, I'm just crawling to being real upset. And I'm trying to process it and engage myself in how I respond to it. And then the person I'm with is saying to me, no, that ain't that. It's not that. I was there. It wasn't that. You there, but you're there from a different side of it. How can you tell me what I'm experiencing right now? Like, I don't want to take away from you, so don't take away from me. So I don't like to tell somebody they don't have a right to do something. But when you cross country, when you cross into somebody else's territory, then I feel like you should understand if they're feeling something, you may not have no idea what they're going through. So stay out of the area of telling them they shouldn't be feeling what they're feeling.
Yeah.
Or it's not what they think it is. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So that I just wanted to tag along, put that in there, because I walked from a small mistake that happened 3 times into how I'm going to pay my bills tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, we shouldn't be in this kind of situation. Yeah. So that's the layers that I think a Black person have to go through. And not all Black people. I'm not speaking for all Black people. I'm just saying that when certain things happen that may be normal or regular for white people, it's not normal or regular for a Black person, because you got so many other layers to process about this one little small situation. And to have that kind of comfort or relief just when you're out and about, that's what we want. We want to be able to be as comfortable as you are in the same environment. But we process and tame more things. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to even get to enjoy when you got these layers to get to go through just to get to that point. So it's something that just needs to be addressed in all formats. I love that we were having this. I told Joey how excited I was about being able to express this to the family here. And I felt the love from everybody, even after when Amy initiated it. And she was like, hold on a second, Story, are you good? Like, when she did that, that's when it kind of transformed. She mellowed me down to be able to talk to the asshole. You know what I mean? Like, when she called me, because I told Joey everybody was talking about Barbie. Yeah. Barbie, 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 Barbie. And I'm like, y'all, okay, I'm cool now. I was already in a place where I was cool with it. I just needed to talk to Joe. It wasn't nobody else's fight or nobody else's conversation. So after Amy came back, then I think it was Robbie. No, Robbie came after Hane. Hane came on a separate thing, like, hey, you good, man? And I was like, no, I appreciate that. And then so everybody did exactly what I know they would do. So I couldn't be mad at anybody in the group for going on talking about Barbie. It just added to the dagger. It just kept sticking.
I'm glad that there's clarity tonight, to at least, like, I didn't even realize until Hane was like, and then they start talking about Barbie, they're assholes. And I'm like, I'm glad that I could at least explain tonight, like, I didn't even realize when we started talking about.
We get it. You're totally in the clear and you didn't make any mistakes.
That's not what I'm saying. I feel so bad. Like, I'm glad that we have the opportunity tonight, because realizing how that must have looked, you know what I mean? Like, for us to go off and have this side conversation, I feel so bad, and I'm relieved that we have this opportunity tonight to be like, I'm glad I went back up and read it. I'm glad I did address it, because if the shoe were on the other foot, if that were me and I had put out, hey, this is really hurting me, and you start talking about something very trivial, I would have been like, wow, awesome.
So, oh yeah. When he was recounting, it was like, as he was saying it, I was like, oh my gosh, that had to have just been horrible. And what makes matters worse is I didn't pick up on it until him and I are actually talking. And that's what makes me sick. Stoy, I want to make sure that I'm understanding something, just because I'm learning from what you're saying. With what you were, the example that you gave us, if your friend is right and that person wasn't giving the sort of ill intent that you were receiving, are you saying, because what I would think is that could be the case or not, but what matters right now is what you are having to process because of where you came. Is that what you're saying? That person may not have had any bad intentions, but that's not the point. The point is I'm having to experience something that you have no clue.
Yeah. My point is there, because of what I'm experiencing, you cannot take the link of that experience away. So if that person had, if they weren't directing it at me and they weren't I'm still in a place where I have to feel that. So it's still prevalent. It still exists.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that my friend was right or wrong. I'm saying it doesn't matter if she can recognize that this person made a mistake three times. The fact that now I have to process this and deal with this from a certain place.
Yeah.
It's still relevant. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not a person that I don't like to harp on anything. Like, oh, I need you to recognize, like, I don't really look for that in nobody else. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to respond to what I'm going to respond to, how I feel like responding. I don't need a co-signer, and I don't need backup, nor do I need you to feel bad for what I'm feeling. So that was important that I communicated that to the group. And I wanted to tell them individually that I understood their delay response. I understood Ellen taking it to the Barbie thing. I understood Matt saying, give them hell. I understood everybody's response because I feel like I'm familiar with their person. I'm familiar with their character. So who they are as a person. So I didn't take any of it personally, but it did hurt to know that the conversation was just drifting into this Barbie land. And I mean, extensively. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know when that moment is going to come, but it's going to come where we're going to be able to address it. And I could express how I felt.
Robbie, I was telling Lynn Stroy about all of this stuff today. And you know what she said to me? Exactly what you said. I wish you would have said that to me first.
Exactly. Well, and not to defend, like, I feel like y'all are all going to give me a bad rap. I can already feel Joey's hate coming on. But
come on.
I can
if you mention hate Barbie one more time, I'm going to lose my shit.
I am going to mention Barbie. What are you going to do, Hank?
Damn it, baby!
I just want to say, women are a minority too, and we were talking about the good things that were coming from that movie for women. That's
for
all.
Black right, women or the white Barbie women?
Joey, you need to go watch that movie because Barbie is for all women.
I've never seen that movie, but because of now the context that sits in my mind with all of this, I don't think I can ever watch it and not either laugh or just think, oh my God, what's happening?
I just didn't know Barbie represented black women. I didn't know that.
She
I'm
does.
Sorry, Amy.
Like, so I'm that's sorry. Part of what they talk about in the movie is that, like, Barbie, you have to just watch it. Anyway, Barbie, there's a black Barbie, an Asian Barbie, or whatever. Like, Barbie represents all females, regardless. It crosses race and all of that, that she's there to acknowledge. Like, especially if you watch it, she talks about, like, all the struggles that, like, all the crap that women have gone through. And then, like, we put it all on this little doll. You know what I mean? Like, she can't represent everything to everyone. And the whole point of the movie is the struggle of how, like, when they create a Barbie, they think they're liberating women and they're going to show all these different facets and women can do everything. And everybody's been so daggum critical of the doll. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, women can't win no matter what.
We can't have one conversation for black people on this episode.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
you made it about Barbie. Just have
like, I was waiting on it.
It's like I'm reliving the text thread all over again.
We can't have one.
Right.
Me too. I thought you had my back, Amy.
Let me tell you what. I hate all of you.
Oh, okay. We got to start again, Joey. We got to start again.
Restart.
If you say Barbie one more
I'm
time.
Just kidding, Amy.
Amy, we're all kidding.
We need to give them a whole episode. To discuss.
Barbie's for
Amy,
the next
we're
episode.
All kidding. We're all kidding. We love you, Amy. We're all kidding.
That should be the next episode, the Barbie talk after the Joey video.
There you
and
go.
We should all be assigned to go watch it.
No, just the women should have
a Barbie episode.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, the I like hate that is rising up in me.
Amy, we're all kidding. Come on. Amy, what do we need to do to make this right now?
No, I think that would be a good conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was surprised. Liz actually thought that, like, obviously Liz agrees with the sort of things that they were putting off, but thought that it was forced. I haven't seen it. Priscilla loved every bit of it, but I think Liz thought that even some of it was forced.
Yes, Liz and I should say Liz and her spouse, they both responded as well the next day. Like, they reached out to me. So everybody in their own way reached out and said, hey, are you good? Are you okay? And I don't need that kind of stuff, but it was appreciated. It was very much
absolutely
appreciated.
And I can guarantee you who didn't contact you, Stoy, Barbie.
Nope.
She sure so didn't. Barbie did not respond to you because she's a bitch.
You had me hanging on that.
That was the job of Ken. Ken should have responded.
Oh.
So does anybody, did anybody hear from Amy?
Yeah, where's we're scared Amy?
Yeah, let's see.
Oh my god.
Up today.
Speaking of
what were y'all saying?
Wow.
Speak of the devil. Like there she is.
Just
perfect timing.
Now that's scary.
I literally asked. I asked, where's scared Amy? And then you just popped up. Super scary.